Wait, are we live? Are we going? I don't know what's happening.
We're live on YouTube.
We are
now.
Live. Okay, now so now's are. The part we where we do live. The intro. Like, now is where, like, hey, yeah, if you were a professional podcast, you'd be like, and we're back with the Wild Times live, episode number 40, I think.
Wild Times.
Everyone's blaming me on the fucking chat. They're like, Pat is peeing. They're calling me Papa P. It was not me that was late.
Who was it?
Well, you did. Let's be fair. You did have to leave and come back because your internet is pissed.
True. What's
all
up,
right,
gents?
Let's do the thing. Cheers. Let's do the thing. We're actually live. Cheers. Cheers, everybody. Brosners, if you're cheers. Tuning in, cheers. And welcome back to The Wild Times, everybody's favorite podcast where we hang out and talk about nature, wildlife, adventure, and all things good. I am your host, the broologist, Forrest Galante. Joined with me is the ever-handsome, top-knotted man, Mr. Ratep, the professor. Ratep, what's happened? Look at those smiles. You're in a good mood. I dig it.
Yeah. I'm happy, man. We got 73 people here on the chat watching. The Discord is popping off. I pinned a link to that at the top of the thing. Drinking game rules are posted in the rules channel on Discord. Go there, drink with us. I got 25 Rolling Rocks to down in 1 hour.
I'm going to have to circle back to that because I do not understand this Discord thing. You keep telling me to get on there. I think I'm commenting. I don't know. But before we talk about that, let's introduce the one, the only, Papa P, Papa Pen Tapper. Call him what you like.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable how much shit I take from the Brosners, man.
The producer, Patrick DeLuca. What's up, Pat?
Happy Friday, everybody. I hope that everyone listening on the live, or if you're driving to work Monday listening on iTunes, just play the drinking game along with us. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If we say came across
no,
the
no,
desk
don't do
drink,
that.
If we basically just drink the whole time.
Just drink. Yeah. And I mean, it's a pandemic.
Just not in the car.
You know, there's a government overthrow taking place. Just drink. You're not going to get in trouble at work.
No. Nope.
What's your boss going to say? Don't drink in these times? Like, what's his problem or her problem,
weird.
You know?
Well, you guys are my boss. Can I drink all 20 of these beers tonight
please.
While we're working?
Fucking
would you shotgun
rock.
One for us
great.
Right now, Ratep? Like a 17-year-old?
Nah,
come on,
it's
do
too
it.
Messy.
Brosners, weigh in. Do you want to see Ratep shotgun a beer? A Rolling Rock room
fuck
temp?
There's too many electronics around, man.
Just
I'm scared
it.
Of that. No, maybe later. Oh, maybe right. later.
So what's up, Forrest? What's going on? What's going on this week? Anything happen?
Oh, it's a big week. It's the start of the new year, work year. You know, like stuff's happening. I feel like things are starting to come together. There's mutterings in the air of the Wild Times becoming the number one podcast in the world. I mean, we're the only ones muttering it, but they're there. You know, the mutterings are there.
That's legit.
Daniel Kuhl is muttering it too. I can hear him
that's
in
tight.
My dreams.
But yeah, I got a bunch of Brosner DMs. I got a lot of love. I've got this Discord thing Ratep keeps texting me about that I don't understand. I've tried to go on there twice. I'm not sure if I've commented or not, to be quite honest. It's very confusing. What is Discord, Ratep? Tell me what we're doing here.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a chat server. You guys remember AIM from back in the day, AOL?
The best 2 years of my life were when I, after having gone through puberty, chatting with girls on Instant Messenger. It was
so good. Who were actually 55-year-old fat men that were...
No, it was girls I went to school with. Come on.
Oh, okay, because I chatted with girls that I never met, and I'm fairly certain none of them were women in hindsight.
Well, I think you're confused, because AIM, you actually have to know the people. Oh. Discord is like a modern version of that. It's more complex because other than you two, the world has evolved and people are smarter, technologically speaking. There's a lot more features in there. Like, for example, we have a stupid thing in there where you can type facts exclamation point snake and a bot will tell you a cool fact about a snake. There's like games and just fun shit you could do in there. So, you know, and it's just really good to have the fucking Brosners in there engaging, chilling, playing games, talking to each other. I think that there's a pair in there that are going to get married soon. They know who they are.
You're not going to call them
and,
out.
Okay. Nah, well, they know who they are. They'll probably mention it in the chat. And then we have the Reddit. The Reddit, too, which I realized was restricted and nobody could
smart.
Post in there. And now that I've opened it up, 125 people hanging out in there. Posting memes. I don't know if you guys saw the ones of you and me and Pat in there already. It's
like
hilarious.
That.
So,
nice.
Yeah. Fuck
sweet.
Yeah.
Well, look,
hooray,
thanks
technology.
For everyone who's tuning in live. We will get Ratep to shotgun a Rolling Rock before the end. But let's get into some wildlife and nature type shit, right? What do you think?
That's what we're
hell
here
yeah.
for. Brosners, if you got anything that have come across your desks, and that's a drink, Send it our way. We'd love to chat about it. And in the meantime, I've got one we can take it away with.
Oh, boy.
Did you guys know, did you see, and this was in a very scientific publication of, I believe, the Daily Mail, that New York squirrels are out for blood, as the headline ran. Squirrels in Battery Park, New York, are on an attacking spree in recent weeks. Multiple bite incidents have been the result of people hand-feeding squirrels in the park. Despite the friendly persona created by the likes of Bob Ross and others, squirrels are wild animals and should be left alone, people. This is a we'll come around to this. This is not, we're not in Patrick's stepdad's backyard, okay, where we're trapping these things. These are, these squirrels belong in New York City, in these parks. They shouldn't be tickled under the chin because they're cute and fluffy. Because if you try and do that, you're gonna get bitten. Be smart when you're dealing with these things. It's that simple.
Dude, people are obsessed with squirrels right now, man. Did you see this thing that was going around? Mm-hmm. It was like a very trendy Christmas gift called squirrel tables.
What's squirrel
tables?
Bro,
it's huge. So, by the way, I sent my stepdad one as a Christmas gift because he hates the squirrels.
WT Willie, we might need an image as we continue down this road.
It's going around. It's a big thing. They're tiny, adorable picnic tables.
I'm frozen.
Right. Okay. And people are making like ultra fancy gourmet meals, like 10 course, beautiful little squirrel sized meals and setting the tables with like elaborate decor. And then they video them and put them on Instagram. Man. The squirrels come and like, you know, it's like a little tiny thing that's molded into the shape of a turkey. It's
that's
awesome.
Ridiculous. Oh my God. Well, you guys have seen the guy on YouTube. It was the most viral video a few weeks ago. He's had this channel since the Periscope on Twitter days, like 5 years ago. He feeds raccoons, and he had a record number of raccoons this night that came to his porch, and he was feeding 25 raccoons. He said he had bought, like, I forget, some absurd amount of hot dogs, like 30 pounds of hot dogs. He's feeding them Oreos. I mean, people love these common, like, street animals.
This guy is
so
the Joe
cute.
Exotic of raccoons. He's rummaging through Walmart dumpsters to pick up hot dogs to feed his raccoons. I did see that. And by the way, that squirrel, what's it, just squirrel table? Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Is that the name of the product? Yeah, I
want
one.
That's so cute.
I'd put one on my fence. Yeah, are you kidding me? I don't think I'd go to the trouble of making a five-course meal. But, wow, that's quite something.
Well, so I would have an issue because actually my girlfriend vehemently hates squirrels. She had a problem with them in her attic, and the HOA at her place wouldn't deal with these goddamn squirrels. So now, like, we'll be out at the park, and I'll be like, oh, like, look at that cute squirrel, and she'll be like, fuck you, basically.
let me you know? Let me ask you this, Forrest. Like, you know, I know you've never been bitten by a squirrel, I'm assuming.
No.
Okay.
Yes, actually, I take that back. I hand raised a couple really little ones that had their eyes closed, and they nipped me a few times.
If a full size squirrel just laid into your finger, let's say, what kind of damage would you speculate that you'd be looking at?
Look, this is a rat. You know, don't make any qualms about it. You got two big old front teeth, and they're gonna take out a little chunk of skin. I mean, if you break down in tears or go to the hospital, you're a bitch. Because it's a quarter pound animal, but it's still gonna hurt and it's gonna take a chunk of skin away for sure.
Okay, let's play the Bite Force game, guys.
Okay. I wonder what you were Googling.
For those of you listening live, don't Google it. Just weigh in with your guesses. So let's play the Bite Force game. So again, it's pounds per square inch. So, you know, the squirrel's mouth is very small, so it's got a little bit of an advantage. But, all right, so a human's is around 500 PSI.
I thought it was like 136.
Two different sources, yeah.
Don't be spreading this information.
Hey, look,
on
man,
this podcast.
This isn't fucking peer-reviewed. I just Googled it.
All right.
So what are we guessing for a squirrel? And I'll put it this way. It's more than a human. How many times more than a human does a squirrel have bite force as a function of pounds per square inch?
I definitely thought it was going to be less than a human.
Me too. I was going to say one. One PSI.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's three times that of a human just because you told me it's more than a human's bite force.
14
you gave a lot of hints.
Times.
Wow.
7,000 pounds per square inch for a squirrel.
Yeah. Wait, but that's more than what the crocodile's rating
is.
But think about it, because
It's the size.
Mm-hmm. Right? So it,
are you reading the National Enquirer?
I'm on two different sources. Now look, one of the sources is called News for Squirrels.
Oh, Matt McHugh makes a good point. They break the nuts, dude. They gotta have that bite. I can't open a goddamn
acorn. What's the name of that source?
News for Squirrels is the name of the website.
How is that not what we're doing with our lives?
Newsforsquirrels.blogpost.com.
Oh my god, dude.
Oh man.
That's like you just installed malware
dude,
on your
Adi in the chat says, imagine the guy who got the alligator balls bitten, but it's a squirrel instead.
Oh,
it'd be
gone. That's a clean Jesus. Take.
Well, Forrest.
Did I?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was going to change the subject.
Go ahead, please.
Forrest decides it's right around midnight, so I'm really just going to settle in for my relax portion of my night. Forrest sends me a text of a video that if we put on YouTube, we will get banned from YouTube because it's not ours. It's a video.
Right.
But tell them what you texted me because you can describe it more accurately. Because I almost puked.
Ritep, you're going to share this where so that people can see it without us getting banned?
It's actually in the Discord right now. I had to put it in the Not Safe for Work channel.
Right. And the thing that I text Patrick at midnight,
is metal.
And knowing how squeamish he is I literally just wrote, watch this, and then saw, you know how you see the little dots when someone's doing something? And then I was like, how do you like your scalping? And it is literally a langer or some kind of monkey. I didn't even look that closely because I was so blown away by the video. That's like looking at this guy. I think he's like an Indian guy. It looks like it's in India. Yeah. And the guy's like looking back at the langer and he kind of like drops his gaze. And the monkey like looks at the top of the guy's head. And then in a flash, the monkey just reaches down and pulls back. And you're like, oh, yeah, cool. You know, whatever. He pulled a bug or a hat off the guy's head or something. And you realize the thing in the monkey's head is the guy's, it looks like a fucking toupee. It's the guy's scalp that he has ripped off of the top of this guy's head. And then it cuts to a picture at the end where you literally see the guy's head just missing a third of its skin and hair. And this monkey just scalped this guy.
I mean,
like it was fucking disgusting.
Essentially down to the bone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. It's disturbing. I mean, he sent that to me and I let out an audible oof. I was just like, it was ridiculous. And then the reaction, it's almost like right after they don't even know. He doesn't even know what happened. Like, it hasn't even hit him yet.
No, I mean, like, I'm not even that squeamish. And that's why I don't even know what species of monkey it was. I couldn't bring myself to watch it a second time. I was like, okay, that's enough. Need to piss off Patrick now.
Literally everyone in the chat is just posting the puke emojis and like, wish I hadn't seen that. But let's get into this here. Okay. So it takes all of 2 seconds between when the monkey's hand makes contact with his head and when it leaves the guy's head. So what the fuck did it do? I mean, do langurs have sharp, super sharp claws?
I think that's all. I don't know anything about fucking scalpings. This is not something I've gone around and studied. But is it just from grabbing that chunk of hair with that kind of like pull motion and force? I don't know. I mean, they have fingernails, but they don't have claws. I mean,
they have these skinny, they have very skinny little fingernails. They don't take up as much of the width of the finger as ours do. And they stick out a little bit, but they're not super long.
But I don't think, I'm not willing to look at it again, but I don't think that the monkey like dug his fingers into the guy's scalp. I think it was just the force of ripping the hair back. I don't know. Is that how a scalp, I don't know the physics of scalping.
Okay, well, the way that it's portrayed in the media when someone's scalped, usually a knife is involved.
True.
Right?
True.
So this thing just goes, and just takes a third of a guy's fucking head off.
Right.
And it's funny. So this brought me to something I was thinking about, Forrest.
Okay.
You could, let's say this langur, what is that? That's probably a 2.5 foot tall monkey that we're looking at.
Yeah. 20-pound, 2.5 foot tall animal.
If that thing approached you,
well, could you bring up a langur?
You probably wouldn't think, oh, if this wanted to kill me, it could.
No.
After seeing that, for sure, that 20-pound monkey, I think, could kill a full grown male.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I mean,
that's crazy.
You know, goes back to our reoccurring theme in every episode, which is, could I kick its ass or not? Right. Look, I think if you knew it was coming for you, you'd still have a really bad time, man. I remember when I was a kid, my uncle got in an altercation with a baboon, which is just not something everybody says. But my uncle had this plum, and we were at Lake Kariba, which has a lot of these baboons. And yeah, anyway, long story short, that baboon was definitely going to kill my uncle.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, and there, like, my uncle was very prepared for the situation in the sense of, like, he chose to hang on to the plum and not give it to the baboon, and he was going to lose the fight 100% of the time. So,
yeah.
And, you know, they're a little bigger than the langurs, but monkeys are ferocious, man. They're so much, all primates are so much stronger, like, in their size than we are. You know, you think of them being, like, related to us, right, as primates, like, same evolutionary tree. You're like, oh, you know, I could fuck up a monkey because it's like me fighting a really small guy, right? Like, I could fuck him up because he's tiny, because they're you know, they're bipeds, we're bipeds, whatever. No. Like, fucking no. Destroy you. Like, Patrick, I'm sure you're Googling some facts behind their strength ratio, but it's just like, it's, no, they'll destroy you.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead,
Richard. Well, go ahead. Well, the scalping thing is terrifying, but Black Sheep in the chat did point out that I'm likely immune because I asked if they thought that one of these monkeys could take on a full-grown human. I'm likely immune because of the top knot. He makes a good point.
He makes a good point, but Stephen Fisher also makes the point that one langur is greater than six reteps. And I mean, you know, he could probably get that peer-reviewed. Like, that's publishable.
The top knot is a handle for it to just pull your whole head off like a dandelion.
Dude, that monkey was not pulling hair. He was digging nails under skin.
I think it was Stephen Miller. Someone posted saying, you know, it could definitely rip your pecker off. And I remember seeing a story probably 10, 15 years ago. It was a long fucking time ago. But an old man had gotten attacked by a chimp in a zoo, and the chimp had gotten loose. It was in a zoo in America, and it ripped his genitals off. Nice. And that got me sort of going down the wormhole. They will attack the genitals. And I've been with Forrest when our sound guy, Gabe, a monkey in Zanzibar. What kind of monkey was that? It's a little blue monkey, right?
Yeah, blue Sykes monkey, I believe.
And it wanted the strawberry that was in Gabe's hand that he was just eating. He was looking the other direction. And it came up and double fist punched him square in the balls and took the strawberry.
I remember that.
They know to go for the nice guy. They're smart.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not want to fuck with any animal. I'm scared of my 12-pound dog and even more scared of the 8-pound cat. So, I mean, I'm not taking on anything that is, you know, bipedal, as tall as me. Just nothing. I'm not even taking on a squirrel with that.
Fuck no. By the way, up to, you know, people are coming into the live. Thank you for joining us. I say we all have a little 904 on the East Coast sip. What are you guys sipping?
Cheers. Gin and tonic, standard. I'm actually getting real low.
Yeah, that's pathetic.
It is.
That's probably
the thing.
A good
is,
thing.
I get
we
so
all
excited.
Remember that
like,
one
you
episode.
Want to know the truth about my drinking habit in this podcast? It's my only drink of the week. It really is. Like, I don't like social. I'm being honest. It's my only drink of the week. And I sit down and I start talking to you guys. I start engaging with the Brosner community. I get fucking excited.
Yeah.
I sip my drink like every 15 seconds. And I only pour myself one drink. So I'm, what are we, 7 minutes in and I'm out of drink.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn it. My podcast is ruined. I only have one drink. Now I have to go to the collection and pour something.
I made myself this I found a zero sugar root beer and I'm drinking a vodka and root beer and it tastes so good. I'm like, I can't stop drinking this.
It's soda.
It's
delicious.
Dude, yeah. It's a problem. I mean, I've been usually by the end of the Battle Royale lately, I've been too intoxicated to really even think. And it's, you know, but I'm so excited, especially today because of all the new shit and like actually talking to all the Brosners and stuff in the Discord and the Reddit. I'm just like, and I literally pounded two beers before we even started.
Good
so
for you, man.
I'm on like
good
beer number
you.
Five.
Hey,
right
so
now.
On that note, yeah. Ritep, on that note, and there's something real special I want to bring up at the end of this, but I got a couple pretty sweet Brosner DMs. I know there's been some messages going to the Wild Times Brosner account. Seth Isaacson said, given the news about punching octopus, now for anybody listening for their first time, on the last podcast, we talked about this bit of news where scientists find out that basically octopus are dicks and they just punch fish when they feel like it. Seth Isaacson said, given the news about punching octopus, who wins in a fight, an octopus or a squid? Let's assume similar size. So we got like a little mini battle royale thing going on here.
Okay.
So I figure Patrick... Retap way in, and then I'll give my sure. 2 cents.
So, assuming they're fighting, and not just that the squid's going to run,
Yeah.
Or swim away.
Mm-hmm.
The octopus is going to fucking destroy that squid. An octopus has a beak in each sucker, which you told us on the last podcast. It has 3 brains, 9 hearts or whatever the fuck. I could be wrong on that. I think I'm right.
You're pretty close. Yeah, you're pretty close.
The octopus is going to smash a squid to bits.
What do you say, Nertab?
Yeah, my take on this, first of all, just say straight up, I agree. And because the octopus, if it was a bigger animal, it would literally be the king of the sea. It's very smart. It's got 8 tentacles that have basically a neural network running through it. Somehow it thinks with its tentacles. The thing is so goddamn smart. The squid would be like still coming toward the octopus. The octopus would be behind it in a chokehold. Like, there's no chance. Octopus 100.
Okay. So from a biological standpoint, let me tell you why I think the squid stands a chance, right? In a squid, they have this long, clear... I'm forgetting the name of the organ, but it's basically a hard thing, right? Like this long, clear, it looks like a feather in a sense. And it almost looks like it's made out of like plexiglass that gives their body rigidity.
You're describing
right? I don't know if there's a name for it, but I'm blanking on it right now. The octopus doesn't have that. It doesn't have hard things inside its body for rigidity, okay? The squid...
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, also having 8 tentacles... 2 of those are much longer, right? And on the end of those much longer ones, there are these big pad suckers that they use to grip stuff that they can shoot out and pull in. You've probably seen that. So there is an advantage there. They're also much more aquadynamic, right? The octopus is like a big blob. It's like this big round thing with the 8 legs coming out, whereas the squid is this bullet shape. Now, all that being said...
Yeah.
Octopus wins hand down. I'm with you guys.
Okay.
And the reason being, I just thought it was worth considering.
Yeah.
The reason being
Absolutely.
The maneuverability, right? When a squid swims, it can really only go in that kind of one, it's not very directional because of its body shape. Whereas the octopus, like, you know, like fight anything with 8 arms, you know, like they used to make Pokemon with those fucking arms coming out of everywhere. Like it's just, you know, there's just no attack point that you can win from when there's that much maneuverability and arming going on.
What if the squid blew out a huge cloud of ink? And so then the octopus is like, oh, where is it? And then it's like, boom.
I mean, that's a hell of a strategy. We're assuming a lot of intelligence. Like, I feel like if the squid came in real hot, you know, and just like used his arrow-like shape to just jab in the octopus straight up and use that rigidity of his cuttle and his cuttlefish, whatever it's called. I think that would do some good damage, but I'm going octopus for sure.
Sweet.
Well, here's one for you guys. Noel Ebert asks, and just real quick, we don't have to stay on it too much longer, but what about a giant squid versus an octopus?
I mean, you know, some of the squid get big enough to kill whales, sperm whales, like... You know, the biggest
regular squid?
Oh, yeah. There's real giant squid, 100-foot-long squid, versus, you know, the biggest octopus, which I believe is the giant Pacific octopus, which gets, like, I don't know, 11 or 12 feet end-to-end. So it's no comparison. And by the way, per body size, like per ratio, the squid's beak is much larger. So, you know, if you're talking about a 100-foot squid, that beak is going to decapitate anybody. It'll chop that thing in two.
Death.
No quest.
For sure.
So, yeah, no, big giant squid wins in that one for sure.
Yeah, and so just for the record, the largest squid ever recovered was closer to 50 feet. But I think most people think, and there are a lot of reports of sightings and things of much bigger squid. I mean, I personally think there's tons of shit out there that's super deep that we don't know about.
Yep.
So if we've seen one that washed on shore that was 50 feet, there certainly could be a 100-footer that just didn't wash on shore, I think.
And there's things like, and you know me, like I'm not like a, oh, you know, maybe this is out there, a fucking Bigfoot kind of thing. But like there's sucker marks and pad prints and stuff like that on the sides of whales that are from animals that are known to be like double that size, right? We've never seen them, but it's like nothing else is making a hole in a sperm whale that size.
Right.
That's fascinating, dude. That's crazy. There's so much shit out there we haven't seen, and it's very, very scary.
Patrick, I got one for you. Got a Broster DM from Crushed Apricot. Said, hey there, I'm a Broster, and I picked up that book Patrick recommended, The Naked Ape. I'm about 20 pages in, and I find this fact about African wild dogs that they will often regurgitate food to their pack mates, so much so that it's said that they have a communal stomach. Fascinating. Would this behavior have a negative impact on their nutritional intake? Can't find any literature on it. Thanks. I guess that's more of a thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm glad that, I sort of recommended the naked ape as a way of basically getting chicks. by understanding
that is where that came
human
from.
Evolution a bit better.
Dude,
but that is super cool that he's reading
you've
it.
Been,
But yeah, that's definitely, I've never heard of this communal stomach thing.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. I mean, if you think about, what's the best way to explain this? Think about human beings, right? And when we build a new building, right? We're acting like a singular organism, right? This is a tough analogy, but I'm doing the best I can to articulate it. When a bunch of people work together to build something, like I said, like a building, right? Everybody has a job. Everybody's doing one thing. Okay, you're putting in the nails, you're hammering, you know, you're bringing in the building material, blah, blah, blah. We start to act as almost a single organism with a single purpose, right? And a perfect example of that is jellyfish. So a jellyfish, for those that don't know, is not a single animal. It's millions of animals together that make up one single life form. That's what a jellyfish is. And so this idea of like a communal stomach of a whole lot of creatures contributing to one thing and one cause, having a singular behavior, is fascinating. And it's a real thing. I mean, when you start to like take a step back from your own ego and your own persona and think about how humans work, like we work like a beehive, you know, it's like all these little worker bees buzzing around to create this big hive, which is in our case, like our planet, right? And altering it and changing it. We act like a singular organism. If you look from like a million feet, you know, a view instead of a 30,000 foot view. And same thing with the African wild dogs and their stomach. And I think that might be a very confusing way to have described it, but I'm trying my best to explain that, like, this idea that if you step back from the pack of wild dogs and you don't look at them as individuals and you go, how are they consuming this big animal? And you see they're digesting it and regurgitating it and sharing it. And you go, oh, well, they have this communal stomach where they're all sharing the same meal. It's almost like they're a single organism more than they are a bunch of individuals. So
yeah,
that's kind of the point.
The hydrozoan, right? Not all jellyfish. Yeah, yeah.
Correct. A certain group.
But it goes back to the whole thing we were talking about in the last podcast, by the way, which people fucking were super interested in, with the communication among the mycelium and all of that underground. I mean, so we have humans who are basically are working together, cooperating to essentially dominate the exterior crust of the earth. And then you have, you know, these mycelium doing these different ways of communicating underneath the earth. I mean, it's all just different mediums of communication, essentially. I mean, these are three examples of it, you know? So it's interesting.
And I want to get back to Crushed Apricot's point, but John Davenport just pointed something out in the chat. He's like, you could really say that about any living creature made up of individual molecules and bacteria. And that's my exact point, right? It's like, at what step do you stand far enough back and go, oh, you know, that's more than one, that, you know, when you break us down, we're a gazillion individual cells that make up, you know, a person. And when you take a step off the planet, you know, it's a million people that make up Earth, like you just said, Peter. So yeah, I mean, you really can say that about anything. But to circle back to Crushed Apricot's point, you know, I just explained the communal stomach thing. He's asking, would this behavior have a negative impact on their nutritional intake? Of course it would. You know, but that's what's so incredible about African wild dogs, canines in general. They have these super advanced intellectual social structures where that animal, 100%, the one that's regurgitating the food, 100% knows that it's not as good for itself, but it's better for the pack. It's like an act of selflessness to, you know, encourage its pack mates. And in turn, it's much less selfish. And in turn, by regurgitating that food, it's much better for that animal's well-being as a whole. So in that moment, it would be better to get the extra bite of food and keep it to myself. Right. But on a biological level, if I regurgitate this food and I feed my pack mates and I feed my offspring, my offspring's going to get larger. They're going to join the pack. We're now going to be more efficient hunters. My mate is going to be healthier. It's going to help me to reproduce, or it's going to help her or him to reproduce more often. So it's a very intelligent way of thinking, really, because the animal knows, yes, it's not good for me right now, but it's good for me overall by regurgitating this food and sharing what I have with my pack mates, which I don't know. It's beautiful.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's super interesting. I once got into an argument with an ex of mine when I was being like, I was kind of like in this weird spiritual phase. Anyways, I got into a big argument with her about how like everything is pretty much based on, it's either competition or cooperation, right? Like in the animal world, I was talking about humans specifically. And I was like, our whole world is based on competing or you work together with people. And it seems it's similar in like the animal kingdom. I mean, there's some animals that are successful when they are working together. There's some animals who don't work together at all. Like, and then there's some animals who can only survive basically working together.
Dude,
so there's
that.
If
you want to go down a wormhole on altruism, bees is fucking fascinating, dude. When I was in college, you know, I started as a bio major and you had to do like these little one credit extra classes where you'd go like four Saturdays and like listen to these 2-hour lectures. And one of the ones I did was altruism and bees. You know, that was a long fucking time ago, obviously, but it's fascinating. The shit, the way that bees act cooperatively is like probably the coolest shit. But to answer Court, you know, I think he's asking, you know, the nutritional value, obviously it depends on how long it is before you regurgitate the food, right?
Sure.
Once you the food's ingest. In the intestine, you can't regurgitate it. So it's still in the stomach. How long has it been in the stomach? Has all the nutritional value been taken out? Probably not. Also, you can regurgitate a lot of the fibrous material. So, it's not ideal. It's not the same as eating the food originally. Some of the nutrients have sapped out already, but that's obvious. He probably already knows that.
So, Pat, I got a question. Somebody has accused you of not really. It's actually Matt McHugh. He's been listening since day one. I think we're going to talk about him later on the air, but he pointed out how you, it seems you didn't even read The Naked Ape and that you just like talking about itself.
No, I
like
did
the
read
exterior,
The Naked Ape. I read
the title. No, I know. So can you give us what, I don't know, you might have already done this, but what's like just three sentences, what should we do to get more punani?
Oh, God. Recep, he did already go over this. He said it in a much better, more articulate, less creepy way than you just did. You were too drunk to remember. Well, take it away, Patrick.
He said that, Pat said that he used the book just to hook up with chicks.
I would say once he gets into the ideas of the apes who left the jungle starting to transform into humans and how monogamy essentially created a ton of the physical changes that happened, right? There's just a ton of little nuggets in there, man. You got to go through, you got to highlight it. I mean, also, by the way, there's a bunch of super undesirable shit in there, like that females specifically evolved to be promiscuous, which there's also another book called Sperm Wars, which is essentially what that's about, is basically that human females evolved to be very promiscuous because the more people that inseminate them, the more apes that inseminated them, the more apes or sort of evolving apes that would care for the offspring. Because if you fuck 15 people and nobody knows who the dad is, obviously they didn't have DNA tests back then.
Yeah.
You've got 15 different male apes that are protecting the offspring, feeding the offspring. And so the trait of promiscuity actually evolved in human females. You know, it's not... Mm-hmm.
Right, so our last... So in other words, to our last female Brosner, you know, thanks for joining us. It's been great having you. I'm sorry.
I don't believe that all this is true. I mean, Sperm Wars isn't considered, like, hard science fact.
No,
it's just theory on evolution.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I mean, a lot of people have asked about it since you mentioned it on the last podcast.
Hey, Daniel Cool had a cool question. get it? Pop up in the chat. He said, Forrest, what non-educational skills would be beneficial for a biologist? You know, planning to do my scuba cert this summer. I hunt, so I'm good with tracking. What else? I think that's a great question, and I'm happy to address it on the air. Daniel, thanks for asking it. It's a question I get all the time. Like, what can I do? So all I'm going to do is tell you what I did that worked for me. When I got done with college and I had a little bit of off time, even when I didn't, even while I was working, what I did, it was rack up the experience and certifications, right? I knew I had my degree in biology. That was great. But I was like, now what? What am I going to do? I got my 100-ton ship captain's license. I got my dive master's. I got my free dive instructors. I got my EMT, my emergency medical technician. I got my wilderness medical. I'm trying to... I kind of have to like look at what's on my wall because I don't even remember anymore. But and those, like, for those watching live, you can kind of see them behind me, like some of the different certificates that I acquired. But this was all in an attempt to get closer to and work with wildlife. And the reason I tell you all of this is these are things that, like, you know, you get your dive masters and you're like, cool, I'm going to teach scuba diving, or I'm going to use this to get closer to marine animals, or your 100-ton ship captain. And you're like, this is great, or your free dive thing. And then you're like, crap, how does this all work together? And it doesn't. And you're like, this sucks. Like, why did I spend so much money and legitimately years of my life getting all these certs and learning all this stuff? And then when I was on Naked and Afraid, anybody that doesn't know this, my first thing I ever did in media was I was on Naked and Afraid. It all, like, came together. Like, I was sitting, and I'll explain what I mean in a second, but it just, like, it just all clicked in one time. And I was like, wow, this has all been useful. And I've had this experience several times since, because you're out in the bush, right? And Naked Afraid, it's a survival show where you're just butt naked and you see if you can survive for 21 days. My biological expertise kicked in and I was like, oh, like, I know what this animal is, and, you know, I know what this plant is, and I can identify this thing based on its leaf structure, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, my freediving skills kicked in and I could freedive for my own food, and so on and so forth. My medical skills kicked in because when I got an infection on my foot, I just took care of it. And so it just kind of all clicked. And I realized that when you utilize all of these when you do all these different skills and you learn them all, Daniel, what you can do is start to apply them when you're getting out there into survival or wilderness or wildlife situations. And so, yeah, I don't know if that totally answers your question. I don't say go buy and read a textbook, because I don't really think you learn anything from doing that. You know, I would say go and do something, like, get your hands dirty. So go and take an archery course, you know, go and learn about survival, go and get your dive masters, go and get free dive certified. Like, those are the things that I think really help you work in the field if that's what you want to do, because you learn from each of those courses and you learn by doing, and then you can apply those once you get out into the world. So hopefully that answers
your
question.
Dude, I got to say, when we've shot Extinct or Alive, it's not always where we're, like, surviving in the woods for days and days. Sometimes we're in the woods for an overnight and then we go back to a hotel, you know, whatever.
Right.
There have been a few times where you wanted to stay out longer than what we had planned and people packed for in their day packs and stuff. And, like, we've made forest feasts out of insects and worms and shit that I would have had no idea. We're like, I remember one of the times in Vietnam, we just, for two days, we ate nothing but grubs and insects.
Right.
And I was like, it was fucking awesome. Like, it didn't even seem gross. I was just like, this is so cool. Like, I would have never, you know, just because you knew how to do all that shit.
And that's all just from experience, like I was saying. And thank you, man. I appreciate that, Patrick. And that's it. You know, it's like, that's a perfect scenario Patrick just laid out. It's like, I've been out here, you know, I want to stay longer. Like, I'm close to finding the animal. I'm close to accomplishing my mission, whatever it is, out in the wild world. When you have all these skill sets, you can be like, cool, let's just stay longer, right? Like, I don't have to go back to town for rations. Yeah. Like, am I going to sleep well tonight? No, but I know that I can get enough. You know, I can build a shelter. I can make a fire. I can find enough grubs to eat. So, yeah, Matt McHugh just said it, adapt and overcome. That's the play.
Dude, sorry, go ahead, Rita.
I think, too, it's applicable to everything. I mean, you're explaining it in the, you know, in the context of science and essentially how you're going to get this education to get to this goal of becoming a scientist or doing whatever it is that you want to do in the science field. This is applicable to my life in a similar way, but it wasn't with, like, nature and science. Dude, I just do stuff that, like, is fun for me, whether it's in the digital world or whatever, you know, like, I'm figuring out fucking Discord or whatever the hell it is. Like, you know, and it's just like doing things that are fun for you. And then one day you realize, wow, this stuff comes in handy to maybe make money, or, like, this stuff comes in handy to, you know, and then you kind of start putting that all together and going your own way. I mean, there's some people who are just into the way of learning. That's education. You go to school. I was terrible in high school. I went to a party school college. I could write papers and bullshit my way through, but I couldn't even stay in a career, like, corporate job for more than 3 years at a time where I was being told what to do, you know?
Yeah, it's awful.
So, I mean, it just kind of depends, I think, on your personality. And, like, but as long as you realize what your skill set is, what makes you happy, and go out there and just do what makes you happy, it all seems to come together at some point.
And by the way, no one listening is surprised by the fact that you did terrible in high school and went to a party college. I just wanted to point that out. Hey,
You almost failed out of college the first year, my friend. You told us that on one of the podcasts.
I did almost fail out of college the first quarter.
Quick story about the time I was just talking about where we stayed in the woods and ate grubs for a couple extra days. We were getting towards the end of an Extinct or Alive shoot, and it was my girlfriend at the time. I was like, hey, why don't you fly out, meet us, and you can come out with us like into the jungle for like 3 or 4 days, and then we'll go on a vacation. She's like, okay, cool. And so the plan was we were going to go out 2 days, pack enough food for 2 days, pretty minimal, so it was just day packs. Sure. And of course, that was her first... That was when Forrest was like, you know, we were onto something. He was like, we got to stay out. So she thought she was coming out to, like, you know, see some TV be shot, kind of hang out at a resort. You know, 2 days later, she's like, three meals a day of worms, grubs, and bugs.
Yeah. Please, like, let me go home. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
She loved it.
Oh, man. God. Okay. I've got something. I've been, like, itching to talk about this. Like, this is blowing. It's been blowing my mind since I found out about this yesterday. Okay, WT Willie, could you do me a favor and pull up our first ever Wild Times print advertisement?
No, that's a squirrel. Not that.
Yeah, look at this, ladies and gentlemen, Brosners. Yeah. If you're a listener, just come and check this out on YouTube, because Matt McHugh, aka Matt McHugecock, just went on his own accord and took out a fucking print article Times with our logo. It says the Wild Times with Forrest Galante, and just added in his own very sexy text. It just says, check out this podcast. And that's like a full quarter page ad. Matt, tell us where this is, because I don't know where you live or what newspaper this is in, but it's unfucking believable, dude. Are you kidding me? Like, what a Brosner. Like, I'm going to get your name tattooed on my inner thigh. Like, you're unbelievable, dude.
You have to. Yeah. Yeah. That's some legendary stuff. Much appreciated, Matt. That's super cool. My brother, I texted this to my brother Joe, who did the logo, and he was just like, this is insane.
It's like, insane.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah. And you know, not to get too off track here, and by the way, this was from Shaverport, Louisiana?
Shreveport, if English is your first language.
Shreve.
He said Louisiana and Northern Texas. Okay. This will, I believe,
whatever.
Be distributed.
My point is,
in.
To all you Brosners, to Matt McHugecock in particular, but to all you Brosners, like, this is unbelievable. Like, the fact that this community that we formed is so strong that people like Matt are going to go out and take ads, all the messages that you guys send us, all of the suggestions for, you know, battle royales and ideas for things on the pod, just thank you guys all so much. Like, I don't want to go on and on about it, but it's just like, I'm blown away by this. I've never said this on air, but I've said this to Patrick and Retep a couple times before. The amount of engagement and support that comes from the Wild Times podcast trumps anything that I've ever done on television. Like, I've had the number one highest rated show on Shark Week. Basically, I've won the Super Bowl of cable television, and I get like 9 tweets going, meh, Forrest saw a shark. You know,
yeah.
Like, we do this Wild Times podcast, and you guys are unbelievable. Like, the amount of engagement and, like, positivity and fun that this community is it's mind-blowing to me. So, yeah, just thank you all.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, real quick, I gotta get this in front of everyone. Rarely does something come across my brand-new, beautiful...
Take a drink.
...desk. It's made out of Indian mango. It's awesome. But this one...
Those are nearing extinction, aren't they?
Dude, this exploded my brain. Will, it's up to you if you want to bring up the picture. I think you kind of should. Okay, so this is, a photo was taken in Delaware of a heron flying through the sky.
Oh, I've seen this.
Having a great day. Until you see the bottom half of the photo, an American eel, it's eaten an American eel. The American eel has burrowed through the bottom. It's eaten its way out of the stomach of the heron. Ugh. So about 2 foot of eel is dangling out of the stomach of the heron that's still flying. Both of them are still alive.
Jesus
Christ. But dude, get this. There were several eagles following the heron.
Oh, no way.
And on the ground, there this was a wild. Fox running along the ground underneath the heron.
Oh, wow.
Look at that photo.
Are you kidding me? Its own little ecosystem.
Well, that's just like...
Ugh. It's like a fucking whale of the, sky.
That gives me the wigglies. You know,
yeah,
just
it does,
looking
dude.
At that. Yeah.
What was this heron thinking? What happened here? How did this happen? This obviously doesn't happen often, but I mean, so what? It didn't kill it first? How does this thing normally eat? Like, it kills it and then it eats it? Or what the hell?
Okay,
I mean,
so the heron would not necessarily kill it before eating it. You know, the way they eat, like, if you've ever seen like a pelican eat a fish, right? The way they gulp the fish down, kind of whole, and it just slides down their gullet. Same thing has obviously happened here. But I think the thing, you know, look, there's a lot to speculate. I don't know that anybody knows. My guess would be that this is a pretty bad existing injury that this heron has, and it's torn in. What do you call it? What's that pouch where birds store stuff? Wow,
gullet.
There's another name.
Brosner's, what do you call
someone
that?
Someone will know.
either ridiculous. Way, he's got a pouch.
It's ridiculous that I'm blanking on it, but...
you're drunk.
Anyway, there's a pouch where they store their food where they basically partially begin to digest it before it goes down into their stomach.
Called a gullet, fact.
No, gullet. It's a crop. That's the name of it.
Okay, maybe in Zimbabwe it's called a crop. Right. We call it a gullet.
Thank you, Ethan's Exotics, someone who's not an idiot. Look, everybody's saying crop.
Gizzard.
Nope, crop. Anyway, my guess is there's a bad injury to this heron's crop. The eel slides down, finds this opening in the crop, and just begins to wiggle its way out, you know, likely tearing further. Yeah. The bird takes off, and everybody's like, oh, something's going to die here. You know, the fox, the eagles, they're all like, there's food here.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because it's not like eagles or the fox have some sort of instinct where it's like, when bird flies with snake hanging down, that means food.
No,
like, they just must have been like, something's weird, and I'm going in.
I wonder if there was blood dripping down that was just who knows? I mean, still,
Well, I mean, like, think about it. I would be fucking looking at that shit. They're probably just like, what the hell is this? They're going to be like surprised with a nice meal at the end of it. They're just be entertaining themselves
That picture is wild. And Retev, for anybody listening on iTunes, because we always seem to forget that people actually listen to us and not just tune into these silly live things, but you will post that on Instagram? Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah, of course. I'll always post it. Me or Will.
Okay. So, by the way, last night, I was doing some research for an upcoming project, and I was watching... Smithsonian Channel, which I didn't even really know that I could get. I don't get it. I had to buy it on iTunes. They made a documentary last year, several parts about Yellowstone. So I watched the first episode. I think we talked about Yellowstone a couple podcasts ago. But they follow this one story in the middle of winter. And this bobcat is attempting to hunt a duck. And he just wants to kill this duck so goddamn bad. And, you know, bobcats aren't amazing in snow because they have kind of small feet, not a lot of surface area, and they sink down. It is just one of the coolest threads of a wildlife show I've ever seen because they follow him periodically throughout the episode, and he tries day after day after day. And he starts by hiding under this log, and, like, the ducks just swim around him, and he doesn't get close enough. Then he tries perching on this high perch. And he dives in several times and doesn't get the duck. And you just see this bobcat's process evolving until, spoiler alert, he gets a duck. Still worth watching. It is fucking awesome. Because everything the bobcat does, every movement is the same exact movement my cat does when she's standing at the window looking at at the hummingbird at the feeder.
Right. Just
every
doing
movement.
That, like.
Yeah.
Or my cat when it's watching a leaf blowing around on the back
patio.
Dude,
they're such badass predators, man.
They're amazing.
Cats are monsters.
Do you guys think that the creator of, you know, like the Bugs Bunny cartoons first was, he saw this behavior in nature and he's like, okay, the duck, or I'm sorry, not Bugs Bunny. I'm talking about Wile E. Coyote, the roadrunner and the fucking coyote just chasing each other constantly.
It'll stop at nothing, ever. For 20 years until he gets that one thing.
Yeah. When I was a kid and I watched that, I was always perplexed. I was like, He almost had it. Why doesn't he just try it again? He'll get that. He'd just do the same thing a second time and it'll work. Like, I remember always thinking that. I was like, why is he not doing that? Like, just try it again. You were so close. Like, it was just a freak situation that it didn't work out this one time.
Right.
I think somebody pinned it, but I just want to point it out because it's bonkers good idea. Everybody started making fun of you, Retep. I think they all stopped listening to us for a short while and well played and just started writing dinosaur bones is oil. And then Adam pointed out, he said, can we get a dinosaur bones is oil t-shirt, which absolutely yes, should Adam. Be one of our shirts. Retep, do you think you can make this happen?
Legit, for real. I know I said this about Mitri, never got around to it because I started coming up with too many ideas. This one is just text on a shirt that I can do. I'll have it up next week.
I don't
week,
think it should
promise.
Just be text. I think we need to see dinosaur
bones.
Oh,
God damn it.
Yeah.
Fuck. Does it need to have bones in oil?
I don't know. I just think that's amazing.
No, it's hilarious because they're watching the daily videos. By the way, thank you. Those take a lot of effort and work, and we love doing them. And so it's great to see the engagement on those and that people are
Matt
liking
McHugh
them.
Matt McHugh just challenged all the Brosners to make a pick. So, hey, that's a hell of a way to get this done. If a Brosner can create a dinosaur bones is oil pick or logo, we're going to definitely use it. And by the way, now, everybody, is your time to make fun of Papa P and his minute bladder because he does this every show. And don't think that it's anything but don't. He'll come back and be like, had to pour myself a drink. I'm super, you know, and Patrick, well, you had to pour myself a drink. Super cool guy. No, he's king. He has the bladder of a 9-year-old.
He's the producer, and he just leaves. I get it without saying a word because it's not like you'd be like, I'll be right back. I'll be right back. Guys, you get up and you leave, but look at his screen. It's just a fucking microphone.
It's nonsense.
It's like, but I love that idea. But so it'll be easiest for those pictures. DM them to me on Instagram to the Wild Times account or hop in the Discord even better and post it in there because that'll be fun. People look at them, vote on them, love them.
So I got up to make another drink and everyone's giving me the Papa pee-pee. Does Pat think we're not going to notice? He has the bladder of a titmouse.
Yeah. You also
what?
Made the mistake
of taking
off your headphones.
None of us would ever make fun of you when
headphones.
You weren't here. That is definitely not what happened.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen. Forrest is making another
cocktail.
Everybody have a drink. I think it's in the rules that when, or it should be, when somebody on this podcast goes to make a drink or get a drink, or Pat goes to pee, we take a
Cheers.
Drink, a big
Cheers,
one.
Cheers, mates.
Hard liquor, Forrest.
Whatever.
I'm going to decimate you two in
Jason
this battle
Jason
Abbs
just asked what I'm pouring.
Later.
Jason, I'm drinking some Talisker single malt.
That's a nice whiskey.
It's real nice. Yeah, it's real smooth.
So I just...
Somebody just...
Oh, go ahead.
Somebody
go ahead,
just, yeah, sorry, go ahead. Somebody just said, not only does Pat look like a weasel, he has the bladder of him, too. Alex Bauer. Nice one.
Nicely don't
forget,
done, sir.
Retep, don't forget, Retep, you still have to shotgun a beer before the night.
Yeah, you are doing that at the very end. Hey, anyone who's thinking about bailing early... You still have the Battle Royale, so you don't want to miss that.
Right.
And at the very end, Retep is going to shotgun a beer. Thank you, Retep. I had a question.
He looks so unhappy about this.
It'll
I have a question great. For you, Forrest.
Yeah.
How does the brain work?
Okay.
Here's some
Let's continue.
Here's the rantings that I came up with at about 5 a.m. last night. Why do we feel so? You sent me that video, right, of the of the monkey,
the scalping.
So I said, why do we feel like we might be able to beat the shit out of a lion that attacks us? We might be able to survive. We might be able to survive an animal attack, but not land an airplane that was crashing if the pilot passed out. So that's my first question for
right.
you.
Well, I don't fucking know, dude. I'm not a brain scientist. I think that...
I am.
Okay.
No, just
all right, here's what I think. I think that we, as organisms that live on this planet that have basically conquered it and mastered it, you know, we're at the top of the food chain, right? Like, not physically, like if you're one-on-one with a lion, you lose, but we have the guns, right? There's very few lions left. Like, we've conquered it. So I think it's human nature to think of our ability to conquer everything in the wild world because we have done so, even though we've done it through technology and not brute force.
And an airplane doesn't fit in with that. It's not part of our DNA. It's not baked into our being part of the
That's what I'm saying. World. Yeah, I don't know. That's a fucking total shot in the dark. Definitely not my area of expertise. That's my guess.
Well, it's interesting, though, because the human brain is our advantage in the world. I mean, it consumes the majority of our body's energy when we're a child. It's why we can't walk. It's why we can't do anything when a giraffe pops out. It can walk on four legs and, like, take a jog if it wants to.
For exercise.
So, I mean, you know. But I mean, that, like, you know, so part of the evolution of the human brain, what's going to happen in 1,000 years? Like, we're going to, like, we're so into technology right now. Who the hell knows? Like, we're going to be one with technology. Like, that's going to be a part of our evolution at some point. Because, I mean, you look at 1980 to today. Look at how it went from nobody uses a computer to every single person uses a computer and a phone.
I want to get to whatever Patrick's working at chipping away here before we dogleg too much. But Netflix just released a terrible series. I'm trying to remember what it was called. It was like an alien life series. I was super excited about it. Added it to my list. It was like going to in the previews, it made it look like they were going to show all these alien creatures based on based on known biology. And I was stoked on it. I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome.
I would think that'd be
right.
Rad.
And it's terrible. It's so bad. It's like literally you like listen to a guy talking about fucking plant biology for like 35 minutes. And then they like just show like the same crappy clip of like a plant slowly blowing in the wind in CG on like Alpha Planet or something.
That sounds like garbanzos.
It's bad. But anyway, the reason I bring all that up is the fourth episode of that RETEP is they like show this, show this planet, right? This system that has these super advanced beings that are like long beyond human evolution. And they have made themselves into machines. Like there's just these little like aquariums of brain matter and everything. They're all connected like a hive and everything is just done by technology. And these like floating brains are what's controlling everything. And I'm like, come on, Netflix. Yeah. Like, I tuned in to see some fucking Avatar animals with some real science behind them and crazy planets. Yeah. And now I'm looking at The Matrix. You know, this is bullshit. And like a bad CG version of it. I was so disappointed. But to your point, there is like something out there that kind of supports that idea that's you could watch if you want to watch this terrible show.
Well,
everyone in the chat is fucking hating this show, by the way. Unanimous.
The one that I was talking about?
Like 20 people in a row commented, like, this is fucking, this show sucks.
Oh,
when you
so
go
bad.
Into, when you
Alien
go
Worlds,
into,
yep.
when you go
That's
in,
what it's called.
When you go into any media expecting one thing and you get the other, it's a bummer, man. It doesn't matter what it is, dude. Like, you go into wanting to see a horror movie and it's a rom-com, like, it's viscerally, you feel. You hate it. You want to kill it. You want to write a bad review
Let's
on it
Let's get back
online.
To Patrick's point, though, of the brain. Because that was going somewhere,
track.
And
I'm
we dog-legged
drunk.
It hard.
No, these are just... That's the whole point of this podcast, right?
Yeah, true.
I think people love it when we dog-leg shit. The last podcast was all over the place, and I was like, this is a mess. People are going to hate this. And it's like the best one we ever did, people
all
say.
Right. So in human development, right, there's a study... Where they, I want to know who the people that volunteered their babies for this were. They would show babies a rabbit, right? Little fucking newborns. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they would blast a bullhorn right next to its head.
Jesus Christ.
Right? So you show the baby this fuzzy rabbit. And then they studied these kids again when they were a little bit older, like 10 years old.
Okay.
And showed them rabbits. Mm-hmm. And like 100% of the kids would start crying, screaming, hate it, just fucking had a vitriolic fear of rabbits.
Yeah, they're all traumatized.
From when they were 3 months old, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. How's that work? I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't care.
Like, you gotta persevere, man. You gotta get over shit.
He's not a neuroscientist.
Like, our brain is so... conscious of keeping us safe from threats, and we catalog threats. Obviously, that's why we don't put our hand on the burner 10 times. We do it once, in Retep's case, four times.
Yeah, at least.
But it's
maybe
just
10
so I'm just mind blown by the human brain these days. I think it was all our talk about mushrooms.
Yeah, it must be. It's nature versus nurture,
Should
right?
We
that's
do?
Like it's yeah. the that's that thing, right? It's like you your instinct is the cute fluffy bunny is good, right? That's nature. The nurture is that you give this like massive negative reinforcement so that you're now terrified of this thing.
Right.
The question is, how does something that you literally don't even remember psychologically scar you into, you know, 10 years later without even knowing why? Because I'm guessing, Patrick, and maybe you know, maybe you don't, none of those kids even remember that incident happening.
No.
None of them had negative feelings towards bunnies or whatever. But then as soon as this happened, they just broke down, right? So that's, like there's a gap there that doesn't add up, right? Like, we always say, like, you know, it's so important in the developmental phase with babies, like what you teach them, how you nurture them, what you show them. But like, it just doesn't add up. It's like they don't remember any of it. But then you do this like terrible bullhorn experiment and they all fucking break down crying. Like, how are they subconsciously remembering that?
It's, I know that there's a part of our brain called the basal ganglia, which I asked Wilt, just texted him to pull up a picture of a brain scan. And it's one of the first parts of the brain to form when you're a fetus, right? And they call it the old brain, and it's right in the middle of your brain. And the basal ganglia is essentially responsible for storing every fucking threat that you can have, right? And so they've studied people with like extreme anxiety disorders. They're, when they give them brain scans, their basal ganglia are super active, and they're hyper aware. It's not connected to the conscious part of your brain at all. You cannot retrieve a memory from it. You can't grab information from it, but it stores basically rabbit bad. Ah! And that's your basal ganglia essentially controlling the rest of you. And you have no conscious connection. So the front of your brain, the conscious part of your brain, isn't connected to it. They can't share.
Weird.
There it is. We've got a diagram of a brain. I've tried to illustrate this to people before because this is something that's interesting. I listened to a shitload of classic Loveline, and I listened to it back in the day. And obviously, they always talk about how, you know, if you had anything happen to you that was traumatic when you were a kid, you're going to be a fucked up adult, and you have to go to therapy, and you got to deal with it. And I was talking actually to my girlfriend about this recently sometime, but it's like, when you're six, imagine when you're like four, five, or six, right when you start to like remember things at all. Like, you don't remember full memories. You just remember like the emotion of the memory. Yeah. I feel like that's the in-between point of not remembering shit, but it's still there. And then like being able to actually form cohesive memories. Like, are those times where you remember, like, I was in a basement and some adult yelled at me when I was six. I don't remember what it was about, but it was terrifying or like some shit.
It's weird how you have those emotional connections to things that you don't really even remember or understand, but it makes you feel that straight away where you're I feel scared. I feel happy, whatever it is, but you don't really know why or when that event took place.
Oh, for sure. That's why all men love the scent of vanilla, because it reminds us of our mother's baking. And we want our girlfriends.
It is the greatest smell in the world. There is no better smell than fresh vanilla.
I don't know why almost every female's perfume is more flower scented. It's like, just rub vanilla extract on yourself.
Go to the kitchen. Go to the baking drawer. Yeah. Just put that all over your body.
Go right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus.
Man.
And then send us a picture.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tep's got something.
The girlfriend just came in and threw a bunch of towels because she doesn't want me to get the beer that I shotgun all over the ground.
It's happening.
So now I guess I have to do it.
It's happening.
You have to. But, you know, we've been podding it up for an hour now. And I think, I think it's time for everybody's favorite segment.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
It's big.
Battle Royale.
I didn't know where you were going. I didn't know where you were going.
I know. You guys were just giving me no support there. I was like,
I didn't know which segment you were going to.
I was waiting.
Fair enough. Do we have a good battle royale lined up this week?
Loads.
Papa P, you got anything?
We have loads. Loads of good battle royales.
Oh, God. I have no time
for
prep.
You don't get time for prep. That's the whole thing.
That's kind of how the game works.
Okay.
Would you like us to explain a snake draft to you?
I'm nervous about the shotgunning of the beer, to be honest.
You want to just shotgun the beer right now just to get it over with?
Yeah. You could do it now.
What do I got
to
do?
What do you have to do? Are you not familiar with how to shotgun a beer?
I've personally shotgunned many beers with you.
I just feel like I have a key. I don't have a key in here. I normally like make the hole with
it. There are other instruments that will puncture that. I'll use a thin piece of aluminum.
Listen, I'm on. We're live here. I got to improvise live.
Okay.
What the fuck? So what do I do? I pop a hole in this.
Yeah, you know what to do. Let's get through this. Then we're going to battle royale. Papa P's working on a battle royale for tonight.
Well, you intro'd it and we hadn't picked one, you son of a bitch.
It's true, but, you know, this is an off-the-cuff kind of show.
All right, so I think this was submitted by a brosner. I like it.
Hold on, let's watch
this.
Let's,
all right, everyone,
okay, if you are if you're listening on iTunes, Retep, the professor with the top knot, is going to shotgun a beer in his living
room. He's punctured it. His face is contorted like he's terrified.
He looks very unhappy.
He did it wrong.
That's not how you do it.
He did it wrong.
Look at the spillage.
He
did
it wrong.
Oh, my God.
You're supposed to drink out of the hole.
And pop the top. Are you kidding me?
Aren't you from Chicago?
Yeah. I think you should do another one. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you got to do another one.
So what am I doing? Redeem thyself.
Tell me.
You puncture.
Okay.
Go ahead,
make the hole. Make the hole.
So make the hole first. Should I have this facing up?
That facing up. Yes. Make the hole. Nope. Lower down. Lower down on the can. No, other way. Yep. There. That's it. Then cover it up with your thumb. Now, yep. There. Okay.
Now cover it with your thumb.
He's destroying all of his technology.
Retep's going to go through a breakup right after this.
He sure is. Cover it with your thumb. All right. I'm sorry, brosners, that you have to sit through this. I'm sure it's painful for you, but it's even more painful for us teaching him how to do it. Cover it with your thumb. Hold it upright. No, no! Oh, my God, he did it again. You drink out the hole.
Oh, my God. It's a disaster.
All right. We're gonna revisit this at a later date. We're going to have to work on this.
All right. Next.
Brosners, please tear him to shreds. I mean...
Thank you for trying, Retep. I love you. Yeah. That was great. Everyone's sufficiently entertained. On the next podcast, Forrest will properly shotgun a beer.
Correct. Correct.
Listen, if my computer fucking turns off, it's because there's beer underneath the keyboard.
Oh, you got to drink from the hole, mate. You could just open the can if you're just going to chug it.
Right? Yeah, that did
fuck you guys. Listen. I've done it. You guys are deaf, 100%.
Next live, 100%.
That's fine.
Forrest and I will both do it.
We're in.
All right. So here's a battle royale for us.
All right.
Thank you, Retep. I haven't laughed that hard in minutes.
That was amazing, Retep. Yeah, thank you.
All right. So
you guys are welcome. Love you, brosters. That was for you.
You are a gorilla in the zoo.
I am.
This is the battle royale.
Oh.
Okay.
You shared a cage with, rest in peace, Harambe. The gorilla, right? A brosner submitted this. I didn't have a lot of prep.
Okay.
Now, you're worried that they're going to be coming for you next.
Okay.
You have to gather three items from your enclosure to use as weapons against the evil zookeepers.
Okay, got it. So you're in her... I got it. Okay. What things are in a gorilla's enclosure that you can use to battle your evil zookeeper?
Wait, everyone hates this. Everyone hates this.
F.
Dude, I didn't have time to prepare.
Pick one that's dropped in. They always fucking put 1,000.
Too
also
soon.
In the Discord, there's
it's
a bunch.
Okay. I don't know what to do. Someone pick one. Jesus. The five that will...
Hang on. I'll distract everybody while you guys figure it out.
No, I got it. Here, I'll come up with
Brosters.
One. I got one.
Okay.
All right. You're sent into space as the sole representative of Earth. Okay? With you to explain to the alien race that you are going to connect with. NASA has mandated that you bring three animals for the trip. Right? Why?
Oh,
what
I
are
like
your
it.
Three?
I like
Why
it.
Are you bringing them? Are you bringing them for protection? Are you bringing them for food?
Oh, yeah,
are you bringing them to appease your alien, people that you're meeting or creatures that you're meeting? Why?
Okay.
What are your three? Why are you bringing
this
them?
This is good.
How's that?
Three animals on our space adventure.
Now, are we
trip,
ever coming back, or are we going to colonize a new planet?
Man, I think that depends on the animals you bring.
Okay. All right. I know what I'm going to do. Oh, do we know that there's alien life forms on the other planet?
We do. We know that we're going to make contact for the first time in this hypothetical.
Okay.
And so you got to bring three animals. We don't know if they're going to be violent. We don't know if they're going to be friendly. We just don't know. But you got to bring these three animals.
Okay.
This, good luck.
All right. Can I go first?
Good luck.
You can.
Okay.
It's a snake draft.
I'm going to be nervous.
Okay.
On the entire flight slash whatever we call it.
Would assume so. Yeah.
So I want an animal that's going to comfort me and make my basal ganglia less active. And so I'm not just dying of a fucking heart attack.
Okay.
I'm going to bring the common domestic short hair house cat. It's going to sit on my lap.
What's your logic behind this?
When you pet a cat, are you doing that for the cat or are you doing that for yourself? Right?
So you're going to Dr. Evil as you go up there.
I will be stroking. Exactly. So I'm going to bring a domestic short hair cat, and I'm going to be cool as a cucumber when the spaceship doors open and I greet the aliens.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Ritep, you can go next.
So he's going with basically the animal version of Xanax to get him through.
It's very clever, actually. When you phrase it like that, it's very clever.
Let me go second, because that means that I go. I do
That's
all
correct.
My three guesses at this time, right?
That's how that works.
So, my first guess will be
just take herpes and get it over with.
I didn't think that this was a bad idea, as I normally do from pet, because I also get very anxious on flights. In this case, I'll probably bring a bottle of Xanax, but I'm also going to bring with me an animal that can not only be something I can pet that will love me, this will be a very, very highly trained orangutan.
Okay. Because
he can also, not only will he be there to quell my anxiety, he will be able to help
me. Yeah, nothing's more relaxing than an orangutan staring you in the eyes. That's usually when I just
that
fall
is asleep. Listen,
he'll be in a cage.
Yeah.
He's very trained. By the way, the Xanax is not just for me. In case the monkey gets out of hand.
Good pick, shirtless for Tep.
That's a good pick.
He is shirtless because he spilled beer all over himself, for those listening on iTunes. Forrest, you got two. What do you got?
I got two, yep. Oh, God.
Speaking of Harambe. Yeah.
So I'm going to go... Too soon. I'm going to go with a different approach, right? Patrick, you're going anxiety reduction. Ritep, apparently your orangutan's going anxiety reduction, but also security, correct?
Yeah, double banger.
Yeah. So I'm going to attempt to appease my alien counterparts, right? So I'm going to take with me... It's real simple, straight off the bat... I'm going to take with me a nice cow. You know, I've got milk. I've got meat if I need it. If these are violent creatures and they're looking at me licking their lips, eat the cow.
Yeah.
You know, you try a cup of milk or eat the cow. I don't care. But, you know, here is my sacrifice creature. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm going to lead with. I'm just going to lead with a nice big old cow. Now, that's going to be a nightmare on the space station. But, you know, until we get there, then when we get there, we go with the cow. So I'm leading with that. Now, that's play one,
Sorry.
Right? That's my sacrifice
Sorry.
Animal.
Smart.
Play two is my protection animal, because if we get off, make contact, these creatures are just feasting on the cow, I know I'm in trouble, which means I need a protection creature, mm-hmm. right? Something that's going to fight for me while I get my ass back on the spaceship. That's my play here. So, you know, I
like it. It's
and,
not
and
bad.
What I'm thinking with that being the case is that I need something that can take on just a lot at once, right? I'm talking, you know, this is a colony of aliens we're going to connect
sure.
with. So I'm just going to bring fucking pissed off elephant.
Oh.
So I can feed it the cow
no.
and just be like,
destruction.
You know, it's like releasing Godzilla. If you release a pissed off elephant, it's like releasing Godzilla.
Oh,
so that's
too bad your spaceship's going to run out of fuel, mate. That's very heavy.
Yeah, it's going to be real heavy. It's going to be
dude,
real
you're adding
heavy.
5,000 pounds. And you're also banking on the 1% chance that in all of the universe where your spaceship goes, that you're going to run into another alien life form. Not only that is not a tiny bacteria, but one that will be a threat that can try and attack
They're
you.
They're little three-foot-tall gray aliens.
These are my picks. These are my picks, okay?
All right.
Please
good picks recap. For us, except for the fact that the fuel economy of your spaceship
bad
is
picks.
Trash. All right.
Daniel Kuhl just pointed out there is no weight in space, so just got to get off the planet.
Somewhere.
But you got to get off the planet good. With a fucking elephant in your
hey,
space
Hey, don't you worry
shot,
about my space, space bar. Shuttle. You just go to your
well, look,
your pick.
Retep's BAC is going up at like 0.01 per second here, so let's let him get his second pick before he's too shit-faced.
Smart.
Okay, well, this was going to be my first pick, and it was now already mentioned in the Brosner chat on YouTube Live. I didn't want to go with this first because it's just the obvious pick for pretty much any battle royale you've ever been in involving animals. And this, my friends, will be herpes. No, just kidding. It will be the octopus.
You stole one of mine.
With its many tentacles. And, it's fine. It would have to be an I'll have to give it a oxygen-breathing mask so that it can
or
do...
Or just put it in a saltwater tank.
Idea.
See, I assumed you were going to say octopus because you were going to be like, I'm just taking him home. You know, he's just going to talk to his friends and then everything's going to be
I've
fine.
I've always wanted an octopus. Yeah, I've just always wanted an octopus. No, but for real, my logic was that he could hold tools for me if I have to repair the ship. He can camouflage...
You're
himself,
a fucking
and that
asshole.
Would just be cool. I don't know. I've never
the
seen
obvious
one in real
logic
life.
Was that he would maybe that would be octopus would be the life form, and he would be like, "Don't hurt."
Yeah,
my friend. It was a bit, right. The logic
can,
was very obvious, and you went a very weird direction.
No, it's because he can hold eight hammers
with your
at
logic.
Once.
How are you going to apply your logic to my goddamn pick? Fuck you and your elephant. I don't even know what your first pick
a cow.
Was.
All right, so you stole one of my picks, which allows me because I was torn. So I have two. So I've got my cat. That's for me, okay?
Yep.
That's not for the alien fellas and ladies. So my second pick, I'm going to go the opposite of Forrest. Forrest's going to try to intimidate these life forms with his large elephant. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to try to be endearing to them.
Mm.
So I'm going to bring a slow loris with me.
Oh, adorable.
They're cute. They have gigantic eyes. And here's what's going to happen. When
they're very cute.
The spaceship doors open and I'm about to be greeted by the aliens, I'm going to be like sort of bowing and praying to the slow loris so that they're going to look at the slow loris and be like, oh, that's the one who's in charge. Oh, that thing's really cute. Let's be nice to these people and things.
That's good.
All right.
That's good.
So slow loris is one.
All right.
That is your entity. So you are going to represent Earth as being ruled by the slow loris to these alien life.
Because
forms.
Why put all your cards on the table ever? In a negotiation, that's a play. You don't just come out with everything right at once.
It's true.
Right. So make them think the slow loris is the boss. And then, in case all hell breaks loose and this shit starts going bad, I will have my third creature in my back pocket. It's going to be a petri dish. Okay. Full of the fast-spreading, fast-killing Ebola virus.
It's a weird animal.
Dude, this is bananas. Why?
Because if I start getting word, one, that they're planning to eradicate Earth, right? They have some sort of crazy laser beam that they're just going to blow it up, colonize Earth to take our water, anything like that, I can unleash the Ebola virus in my petri dish and then take off back to Earth with my cat and slow loris.
Interesting. Okay. So those are good picks. It's all over the map. Let's go, Retep. What do you got?
All right. Well, while you guys were yammering, I Googled which animal can make booze. Apparently, there are none. So I had to reassess my evaluation of which animal I'd like to bring. And that animal, my friends, will be not just one animal, kind of one animal, but a beehive full of bees that can do work for me.
You're going to make
much
some
work for me.
Patrick's favorite drink.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how they make the booze. I'm just going to bring them and I'm going to let them make it. I'll drink it. They're going to make it.
It was between that and a dolphin. I don't know. But
animals,
I can't have two aquatic animals.
Which animals is oil? Which animals can make booze?
I like how there was no, like, I don't know how they make booze. I don't know what kind of booze. It's just they'll make the booze. I'll drink the booze.
Well, the first article that came up was these animals are out, or it's where I fucking closed it, but it was basically these animals are alcoholics. These seven animals
so
are alcoholics.
Real quick tidbit on that. Some in almost exactly the same percentage in bees as in humans are alcoholics.
Uh-huh.
And they will eat, they'll go out, they'll eat the fermented fruit. And when they come back to the hive drunk, the other bees won't let them in the hive when they're drunk. Fact.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's like a bee bouncer.
I've
they're
been
like,
there, man. Come on, I man. Feel for those bees. It makes me want to take bees on my space trip even
I like
more.
That. Okay, yeah, so I got one.
Peter gets
left.
Stung to death on his way to Mars. So what's next?
we'll sum it up after that. So I've got my cow. That's my food animal. That's my sacrificial beast. You have some milk, have some meat, you know, enjoy. Like, please let, this is a token of good faith, right? I have my elephant for when shit goes sideways.
Yep.
You know, let's release the elephant, let things go crazy. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. And assuming it doesn't come to that, now that I've got those two out of the way, I want an animal that aliens are just going to be like, wow, this is great. You know, like if this is what Earth is full of, maybe Earth's not a bad place. Maybe we shouldn't blow it up. Maybe we should go hang out there and, you know, reveal ourselves to
like
Joe
it.
Rogan.
Smart.
Yeah, so I'm just, it's like a little bit along Papa P's lines. It's a bit of a cop-out. I'm going to bring my dog, you know? Yeah. I'm just going to, everybody likes my dog.
You know what?
Everybody. Nobody's ever met my dog and been like, your dog sucks. You know, like, if I run, he's going to run. I know he's going to be by my feet at all times, you know? Like, if we have to make a quick escape, we'll go together. If we're going down, we're going down together. So, yeah, I'm bringing Space Pop.
I have to interrupt. An elephant, your dog, and a fucking cow is what my what a 1 year old would come up with.
I'm a simple man, Ritep. Okay,
listen, mine might not be stellar. Okay, but it is much more sophisticated and a better battle royale.
Well,
than
Kristen
that
Nicole
is.
Said 1,000% she's
of you
bringing
guys,
her bulldog Chubbs Peterson. So you know, I'm not the only one who wants to bring their pet.
Both of you guys literally based most of your picks on the fact that you would be encountering aliens.
That was the game.
Part of the game.
Listen. No. Oh, God.
Well,
I didn't even hear that part because I was cleaning up the beer on the ground
your
over there.
Off from the rolling
but I do, do want to give just a nod to W.T. Willie. He said that we should take the toad that makes you trip when you lick
that
it.
Is
and
smart.
I wish I had picked that. Thank you.
So to sum it up, before we call it a night here, gentlemen. And Brosners, if you want to weigh in, look, you can vote here. You can vote on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. That helps us the most. You can let us know on YouTube, whatever. Papa P has got a house cat for anxiety, basically the animal version of Xanax. Mm-hmm. He's got a slow Loris to be act as the ruler of Earth. He's going to worship it. He's going to let the aliens know this is what Earth is ruled by, like this cute, adorable, cuddly creature. Yep. And in case the aliens are not susceptible or they're not interested in that, he's bringing a petri dish of Ebola to unleash hell on them before they come to Earth.
Yep.
Ritep has a highly trained orangutan who is both a therapy. A service animal.
He's eating some of my Xanax.
It's a service orangutan, that is there for both protection and comfort. As well as an octopus, because it has 8 arms and can carry 8 hammers, I think was the reason. Not because octopus are from out of space.
Well, I didn't hear the part that we were actually encountering aliens.
God damn it! Why do I always do that? And
I thought
and
I
then,
might have to repair
the
ship.
And then a hive of bees because bees make alcohol.
Mead.
Speaking of bees, Leonard Beelin on the chat says you can also vote in the Discord. So
there you go.
It's an app.
And I'm
for those
cow.
Who don't know
there's
what we're talking about, it's an app. You download it. I just discovered it. It's pretty fucking fun. It's pretty fun.
The link is in our bio on Instagram. Go there. Click it. Download the app. Yeah. I will say this. If I want everybody, it's important that you go to iTunes and vote. Yes. But it's even more important if you do what I did when I first started hitting on my girlfriend. I told her that I was having conversations with friends that were our battle royales, like the Easter basket. I was like, what would you have in your Easter basket if you had an Easter basket? And then it was a very good conversation starter. So if you want to hit on girls or anything else, just tell your friends that about this
sense.
Podcast.
Perfect sense.
Only your cool friends, though. Don't tell any of those shitty fucking assholes that we just keep hanging around for years and years, even though we hate them.
I met your cool friend about this podcast. Oof, all right, and then Forrest, what did you have in the Battle Royale?
Huh?
A cow.
Oh, I had a cow, which can provide milk and meat. I had an elephant in case shit goes sideways. I'm just going to let the elephant just wreak havoc while I escape. And I had my dog with me for comfort because I'm not going to space without my pup.
Very smart. Early returns on the live. Ollie Taggart says Retep would have won, but the way he shotgunned those beers immediately disqualified him.
That's accurate.
Listen, I'm the only one that just wants to stick around and bullshit for a while. So I don't even know how I'm going to do that.
All right.
Fuck you.
Thank you, everybody, on the YouTube Live. This has been really fun. Hey, we can't do much else on a Friday night, so why not hang out, drink, and talk some shit? Love you guys.
That's what's up. Cheers everybody. Mates. Good night.
I'm going to go pee now. Oh, boy. Start wearing a diaper on these.